Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Samuel Adams Returns. Those anti-federalists, oh boy, they were so predictable. They got it so spot on. I want to open by telling you my name. This is Tom Novolis, your host, and I am glad you're here. This is a pretty exciting week for me. I usually take and have ideas that'll propagate themselves, but this week I was kind of stymied at the beginning of the week in my research as to what is it that I need to be talking about. And there's so much, always, and it all has historical relevance, and it falls back onto what are the facts and truths, and how do we, as I brought up last week, don't listen to history, don't study history, therefore we end up repeating it. Well, it comes down to what's going on with the Trump Georgia indictment as, once again, ignoring history, ignoring it flat out. So I was like, okay, Lord, what am I supposed to be doing here? And lo and behold, I went over and sitting on the front end of my little desk was one of my favorites, read very well, as you well know and see. It's for those that are looking at the video, well bookmarked in so many different ways. None Dare Call It Treason, 25 Years Later by John Stormer. And it just happened, as things happen from time to time, that I opened the pages to none other than, oh gosh, let's see here, and I have it referenced for you, is that right around page 105, 106, that we'll get into here in a moment's detail, because I want to read some things for you, is that the plan that Stormer well documented at the time was you want to intimidate the opposition. And one of the mechanisms for intimidating the opposition is none other than RICO Act prosecutions. Now, this book, let's face it, this book was redone during the Clinton era, if you will. And my goodness, it's 1992 edition. So that's when this edition, this paperback edition, you still can get copies of it if you go out there. And it is so well documented that I don't know what to tell you. Is that, like I said, and I told you many times, I first read None Dare Call It Treason back in right around 1969. And at that time, just sitting there going, holy smokes, we're heading towards communism. There is a plan. And then over and over, I've told you about the Kozak plan and how that works from pressure from above and pressure from below. Well, this is exactly what is going on. This is RICO is the tool for tyranny, my friends. It's the Kozak plan. And I don't know that I'm going to get into the depth of how Brutus or Richard Henry Lee responded in general about the use of the judiciary to destroy the nation, especially the sovereignty of the states. But I am going to take you through, and I'm trying to read. It's very difficult, obviously, with the way the studio lighting is set up and needing two sets of glasses, if you will, almost the print is so small, is that just to go through what John Stormer had to say about this intimidation, RICO, and some of the issues there. Now, I did look up the indictment and did a cursory read on it. It's foolish at best. I did take and look at then the Georgia law, and I looked at the federal law. Once again, I am not an attorney, and I do not practice law in any form whatsoever, but the common man in the founding era was so knowledgeable of the then loose, what they called the English Constitution, as well as having copies of the Blackstone, who was the great doctor of English law, in their homes, that they were called basically meddlers in law. They were called, our founders knew the law better than those that were elected to office, the common people. Now the common people know nothing, nothing, and they keep taking it away in our educational system even more. So one component that Stormer brought out, before I went and looked at the federal and the state statutes on this, is that under RICO, you can take and all assets can be seized. All assets can be seized under RICO. Before there's any trial or adjudication at all assets can be seized. So it's going to be extremely interesting to look at what will happen when they actually charge Trump, when he surrenders for that. And there's, you know, a lot of strategic stuff happening right now. You know, there's articles out there wondering if Trump is going to show up on the 23rd, which apparently is the date of the Republican debate, presidential debate, and I call them Republicans because the establishment and all of these people pretty much want to make you puke. It's terrible. There's articles there that I may reference. Or I don't know that I reference them or not, but it's terrible. You know, you got the same old anti-Trumpers, which are anti-American because they're all pro-establishment against us. But the point of what I wanted to say here is that in the references at SamuelAdamsReturns.net, you need to consider the analysis of Georgia's RICO statute. I have it in there, and that, interestingly enough, let me put this into your thought process. Interestingly enough, that this statute went into effect July 1st, 2015. How long was it that Trump was talking about running for president? When was it that the Georgia legislature started to take and debate and look at changing their updating and changing their RICO laws? When did Trump come down the golden escalator? When was that? And then when did Georgia begin, really begin, its legislative intent to change its 1933 law on racketeering? Just questions. Who was there in the legislature, who prompted it to take and establish, especially the way that the law is established, especially with the facts that, as it was brought out by Dershowitz and others, that Georgia's governors cannot pardon anybody. It goes to a pardon board. And with the fact that the guilty person has to have 5 years of sentence follow through before the pardon board in Georgia will even look at it. So once again, I said, don't be shocked about it. And I say this in the newsletter, that the RICO statute allows for the freezing or seizure of property for forfeiture until the case is resolved. Interesting. And then in a partial answer to the question above, those questions that I just posed, is read the intent of the Georgia State Legislature from 2013. And I have a link to it for you so you can do that. Now then, you have to look at Trump and his co-defendants. How do they fall into the definition there, which is, quote, apply to an interrelated pattern, a pattern of criminal activity motivated by or the effect of which is pecuniary gain or economic or physical threat or injury. How does that fit in? And that's one of the key definitions as to how to use RICO in Georgia. How does that fit in asking a First Amendment question and asking, you know, what's going on with elections in your state? What's going on? I mean, I asked that of our Secretary of State, trying to understand, was there any fraud here in Ohio? That's a right to ask the questions, especially when you see anomalies in the systems. So this grand jury, in its summation, when you look at it, is totally loosey-goosey, as if you take a remedial look at the full statute in Georgia. So it's interesting, very interesting. So let's see here what Stormer had to say, and he goes here that the awesome powers given to the governmental agencies in the last 50 years are used as pressure from above, COSAC plan, pressure from above to intimidate and stifle opposition to the ongoing pressure for a communist revolution. We're there. We're beyond it. 1992, all that happened, all that I've said from Clinton's to Obama to studying at the University of Chicago to understand what the anti-federalists said and wrote as to the holes and leaks in the Constitution. But worse is that when you go and understand what Gus Hall, who was the head of the Communist Party USA, talked about the mechanisms on using the courts and the pressure from below and the pressure from above. It's very, very interesting. You know we're going to be continuing this from John Stormer into part two. So all of those who only get part one, segment one, and segment three of the program, I highly recommend you go to segment two as well, because I'll be covering more of what Stormer has to say. But he goes on and he continues with the pressure from above to intimidate and stifle opposition to the communism. A weapon Congress enacted to fight drug trafficking, that was the initial purpose, drug trafficking, which is being applied increasingly in other areas, has such potential under the 1970 Racketeering and Corruptions Organization Act, RICO, someone simply charged with the violation can have all their assets frozen until what? Until the issues are received by the courts, which one, it can take years. Now, we know they want Trump to have a speedy trial, for sure, because they don't want it to go to an election process and allow him to campaign. So that's why Georgia is trying to push for a March 4th trial, which is amazing. And the fact that then that trial can start, but the whole thing is going to could go on for years and years, or however long that the persecutor wants to try and drive it. And we'll talk about that in probably maybe the second, third segment for sure, is that the senator in the state of Georgia is now looking at to investigate this persecutor there in Georgia and potentially either cut off the funding for this indictment and or impeach her for what's going on. The woman is a Marxist, flat out. I'm going to finish this segment with this, and we'll get back to Stormer. We have had over the last 100 years, as I brought out in many programs, infiltration into the bureaucracies, infiltration into the legal system at every level of Marxists, socialists, or those that are lenient in those directions. Sam Adams warned about human nature. He warned that if you don't have a foundational belief, you lose it all. Come on back. Welcome back to the second segment of Samuel Adams Returns, and we're going to jump right into it because we have so much to cover in regards to RICO and the strategic use of it. I was finishing off, and I want to bring you right back to that because it's always going to go to this point, and I do have a link in there to one of Doug Wilson's commentaries lately on his blog. And the whole thing comes down to is that we need that great personal reformation. We need to have that truth, because Sam Adams understood the truths that if you did not have a foundational, and I mean a biblical foundational presence in your life, accepted and lived by, then things are going to go awry. And human nature, being a sinful nature, will take and destroy everything around it, which we're seeing happening all the time. Just as a refresher, go to the references, and one of the points there, and I will bring it back in the third segment for others, is that there's an analysis on the Georgia RICO law by a Georgia trial attorney. And one of the statements that he makes in there, in one of his paragraphs talking about RICO, he is specific. That's something he is focused on. He practices his law practice is in relationship to businesses and RICO and all of that. Is that RICO is abused. RICO is abused in the state of Georgia, okay? Pay attention to his analysis. It's short. It's not really long. It's kind of an advertisement also for his law practice, but the fact that he says RICO in Georgia is abused right there has a lot to say. So let's get back to Stormer, because what Stormer does take and bring out is a particular case that he talks about. He says that the law was used in August of 1989 in a federal crackdown on corruption and racketeering at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. So the news accounts of the grand jury indictment said that 16, let me see, 16, what does that number get close to Mondays? Anyway, I know I'm sidetracking. I'm just sidetracking a little bit there. So 16 of the traders were charged with violating the Federal Racketeer Influence and Corrupt Organization Act, which empowers the government to freeze defendants' assets before a trial for seizure upon conviction. Now, the government increasingly has been using the law enacted to fight organized crimes such as drug trafficking, to crack down on securities crime and other white-collar corruptions. So we're seeing that RICO has expanded even from that period, from the time of its inception on, into areas that necessarily wasn't meant for. But everybody was okay with it. Oh, those bad guys. Look at those bad guys. We got to get those white-collar bad guys. Really? Or was it something different than that? Maybe some of them were valid. We don't know. Such laws were enacted to combat admittedly very serious problems. They have given the government awesome powers to tie up the assets of those charged with, but not yet convicted, of violations. The power could be, and here's where he was predictive. Here's where he was predictive. The powers could be used at some future date to freeze the assets of those opposing measures, leading to a, here's it is, socialist takeover. Isn't that what Trump was saying, especially in the 2020 campaign? we will not allow this country to become socialist. Well, we were already there. We were already there. We are there. We hear the term often about a banana republic. Look at what a banana republic we've become, or we're becoming, thinking that it's in process. No, the banana republic is here. In fact, if you look at the real definitions of fascism and everything that's going on with this ESG in business, environmentalism, a great paper was written, not yet published, by my friend George Brennan to the Legatus Group. It's a Catholic business organization. He did a seminar, online seminar with them, and he's doing some follow-up articles. But in there, he talks about what's going on in Europe and America with the areas that are covered in driving away from a fair/free market system to government-controlled. I saw it happen in Venezuela while I was there. They federalized all the major businesses. In so many ways, we've done that here in America by taking and giving so many incentives or causing so many issues, rules, and regulations on businesses that fundamentally, in fact, and you're going to have to understand the business component of fascism, we're there. We're not socialists. Government control, influence within business. That is business fascism. We're there. We've been there, and increasingly. And this is directed especially with companies that are public companies, and they're trying to trickle it through from the SEC down to all these other organizations, government bureaucracies, to control every aspect of our lives. And none other than Brutus talks about that at the federal level. I have to remind you of that. I'll have to remind you of that as we get through. But anyway, he goes on to talk about here, not too many small businessmen, political figures, et cetera, would have to become targets of such actions before others would think twice before speaking out. There was a case that I'm not going to get into about a radio station, Christian radio station, where the FCC was used with pressure from below to take and force the FCC action in such a way that they shut the station down. So he references that, and he says the WXUR case, the potential for using the IRS audits, OSHA, and EPA harassment, and the anti-racketeering procedures all fit the check blueprint. That's the Kozak plan. Interesting. This was one of the things. I say, okay, Lord, what do I do this week? And boom, it just hits. Now, I understand that there's some other folks out there, and I just found out earlier on Friday of this week that I guess Ben Shapiro put out something about RICO and its uses and manipulations. I haven't looked at that yet, but I would probably, based on the my friend who suggested that to me, I would probably recommend you go search that out on your own. Because Shapiro does a lot of, he's an attorney and he's a smart guy, and so he does a lot of interesting legal work. But I want to take you to the next section here of what Stormer was writing about at this time as well. And that section is called Courtroom Terrorism. Courtroom Terrorism. We have a new term for it now. It's called lawfare. It's using law in a warfare against political opponents, against opponents of all of the socialist, communist actions out there, which is exactly what we've spoken of before on the isms. So he goes on here, a RICO Act provision permits private individuals who claim to have been damaged to file suits against those they charge with racketeering. So it not only has to be the government. Under the federal statute, individuals can bring a RICO case. Isn't that interesting? And he goes on to say here that the technique has been used by leftist groups in an attempt to intimidate and bankrupt aggressive anti-communists. Such use of the RICO Act has been labeled courtroom terrorism by those who have been its targets. This is historic, folks. This has been going on since this book was written. It came out in 1992. Holy smokes. You do the math. We're in 2023, mid-year. Wow. 1992 till now. In May of 1986, so go back even further, it was that the little-known Christie Institute filed a massive $28.8 million lawsuit against retired Major General John Seglaw, Nicaraguan Contra leader Adolfo Calero, and about 25 others in the U.S. District Court of Miami. All were involved in various ways with the anti-communist freedom fighters in Nicaragua. They were charged with being part of a secret team which had participated in a 25-year pattern of racketeering activity, including acts or threats of murder, kidnapping, bribery, and felonious manufacture, importation, selling, and otherwise dealing in cocaine and prescribed drugs, prescription drugs in particular. After 2 years of costly courtroom maneuvering, the Federal District Court Chief Judge James Lawrence King dismissed the charges, ruling that the plaintiffs had, and here's the quote, and pay attention, failed to produce any admissible evidence regarding causation, and that the Christic Institute's allegations were based on unsubstantiated rumor, speculation from unidentified sources, and with no final hand knowledge. No first-hand knowledge. So what we have going on here with President Trump and the RICO charges in Georgia, they're saying there's no evidence of fraud, whereas in fact, and is being brought out now, and you're looking at, and if you pay attention to all the various investigations, especially with what is coming out of Michigan, and I'm going to bring up the company in the next segment and what happened there and how that company had associates in all the other key states, including Georgia, and the manipulation of ballots in the various states, that it's a blind eye that the Georgia Attorney General and Governor want to put on it because they are power mongers. And just face it, they're part of the elite establishment that want the uniparty to be in place. So with all this, ladies and gentlemen, as we close out this second segment, it is important to understand that this power of RICO is used to manipulate and actually go after, and as we saw, freedom fighters. It could be used against you by your neighbor, because you have done things and conspired to make them put up a fence because their dog keeps running into your yard and going bathroom there. And you're tired of picking up the dog turds. So guess what? They're filing RICO charges because you're conspiring to have them put up a fence. Well, come on back in the next segment as we look at the fences that attack liberty. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to this last segment of Samuel Adams Returns. Those anti-federalists absolutely nail it. This is Tom Navolis, your host, and for those that did not listen to the last segment or don't get the last segment because we have to compress time for the different markets that only give us a shorter period of time, you need to go back and listen to that second segment. Not only did I bring out serious stuff, information, and delve deeper into what John Stormer had to say about RICO and courtroom terrorism and how RICO's used to stop freedom fighters. That's you and me. I ended with talking about the defenses that will destroy our liberties, our freedoms. Well, they're putting fences up except down at the border. And those fences are to take and keep you and I away from understanding truth. And that's the educational system. So they fence that in with all of their socialist, communist insanities for the purposes. Now, what I talked about before was that this is the Kozak plan. It's been put in place for a long time. You know, Gus Hall, who was the founder of the American Communist Party, he really looked at it. And we talk about here in the last segment the case that was dismissed by a federal district court chief judge that was against a Major General John Singlob there in 1986 relationship to the organization that he was to help fight the communism in Nicaragua. So it came down to the bottom line is that it cost him, the judge issued more than $1 million judgment against the Leftist Institute and its lawyers for bringing a frivolous and fanciful suit. Now, we know that the judge shopping for what has happened in all of Trump's indictments, the majority are leftist judges. Leftist judges and what's happening in Georgia, what's happening in New York, down in Miami is a little different. That happened to be more of a judge that was, I believe, appointed by the Trump administration. So there's some things that have happened there. Also, I want to bring out that I saw an article here where Newt Gingrich actually got on a program, and that what he brought it out was in this interview that he had is that Fannie Willis was received a phone call on the previous Friday fundamentally demanding that she indict Trump on Monday. And as this reliable source told former Speaker Newt Gingrich, that what happened was is that they are trying to cover up the mistakes that Weiss made in the case around Hunter Biden and how it's taking and starting to move into Joe Biden. And that was an interview with Charlie Kirk as I'm looking at it right now. So she said, apparently, my jurors aren't coming back until Tuesday. And that the person that called her said, you didn't hear me. You have to indict on Monday. And she said, they're not going to be there before noon. This means it's going to be 8 or 9 o'clock at night. So there's somehow somebody got the transcripts of that phone call. And that's very interesting on how that got leaked. And that's why the clerk posted the indictment ahead of time because they were told to indict Trump. So it's something goes back to the first segment and asking all the various questions that I asked. Is what's going on here? Where's the timelines? Who's the who's in the zoos? There's a lot of zoos to cover here. So just you got to ask the questions. If you're not asking the questions, and if you, a free citizen are not seeking the answers in truth. Well, which the majority aren't. You are, because you're listening to this program. But the majority out there aren't. They're dumb. They're stupefied. They're just ignorant. Unlike our founders, not the founding fathers, all of our heritage, that they would read Blackstone and understand the law better than those that were elected to the various offices or appointed by the king. Here, we know nothing about our local statutes, our state statute, let alone anything federal. Do we all need to be attorneys? No. Yeah. Majority of attorneys out there are corrupted, as I said, because the law schools are leftists. And they have, for the last 50 years, been teaching corruption and how to have a corrupt court with ideology. Anyway, we'll go on. There was a lawsuit against a Christian activist, and this was in 1989, where the left started a flood of RICO lawsuits. Lawsuits which could sever or severe and were designed to intimidate conservatives and slow their activities. Some of the well-known names and cases attacked in the courts included a RICO-type lawsuit filed against Dr. Jerry Falwell and the Moral Majority by the Florida chapter of the National Organization of Women. Isn't that interesting? Here's Madeline Murray O'Hara and her atheist organization sued Beverly LaHaye and the Concerned Women for America for $4 million. Ms. LaHaye said the suit stemmed from her distribution of a USA Today article which revealed Ms. O'Hara was trying to stop the use of a national motto, "In God We Trust," on the money. Then the Florida chapter of the American Family Association was sued, charged with racketeering and extortion because of the offense to its efforts to support the sale of, to stop the sale of adult magazines. Playboy Magazine and Waldron Books were among those who filed the RICO suit against the anti-porn group. It goes where RICO being used in all these frivolous ways and in a moral context. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the two aspects that I often talk about is how morality is viewed, how morality is going to operate within a society, how it's going to function within a society. I guess you could look at it from the question of what is that Christian nationalism, if you want to use that terminology. No, it's how do we live as a moral people? Do we take and we live under the false morality of man and mankind, which leads to tyranny, which leads to the destruction of a civil society, as we're seeing with all of the transgender insanity, as we're seeing with all of the rest of the mess that is out there with all of these, what are they called, these weirdos that are out there taking in reading story hours. Where is that morality? There was an article that I don't have here where Christian, it was Defying Tyrants. It was with my friend that I'll take and put his article up where he and his family were taking and going against these cross-dressers, just protesting on their story hour with all these drag queens. And the drag queens under Wisconsin law were the ones that should be arrested. But instead, they arrested his daughter and son-in-law and several others and charged him with misdemeanors and that. And Matt Truella, he actually went and talked to the police officers and talked to them about the lesser magistrates and that doctrine of lesser magistrates. Where are you with that? Where are you as an elected official with the doctrine of the lesser magistrates? Where are you with fighting for a moral nation, a moral county, a moral state? Oh, well, what's morality and whose morality? If your morality is amoral or leftist moral, then you're fighting for that. And that's what becomes law. And that then is what's used in adjudication, especially what we're talking about with RICO. Now, if you claim to be a Christian, then you should be fighting for God's morality, because that should be at the top and covering of your decision process. That should be the over your head guidance for you in everything you do in any administrative work, bureaucratic work, or legislative work, and those in the judiciary, your adjudication. You answer to the living God under biblical moral standards. Where are you with that? So whose morality is it? Is it the morality of mankind, or is it the morality of the living God? So Chief Justice speaks out. Justice William Rehnquist, of all people, actually said that such civil RICO suits were being used, quote, in ways Congress never intended. Rehnquist said that the RICO-type claims were being filed in divorces, trespass, and accounting malpractice situations, and even in inheritance squabbles among family members. The Chief Justice spoke out, but the RICO threat remains in the law books and is being used as a weapon against conservatives, pro-family, pro-God groups. Now it's being used again against anti-socialist, anti-communist political leaders such as Donald Trump and his co-defendants. Isn't that amazing? It is absolutely appalling. What do you do about it? What do you do as that general citizen about any of this? Number one, you need to get your children educated in the ways of the Lord and in the ways of foundational American thought, jurisprudence, and what does it mean to have a clear understanding of constitutionalism from founders' intent. That's number one. You need to do that. Your college students, pull them out of the insane state universities and find another way to help them develop in their education. Find those law schools. If your child wants to be an attorney, find those law schools, which there are a number of Christian law schools that lean towards truth. Elect people and dig into them. Dig into their moral substance. Dig into the moral substance of those people that are going to be on their staff. Remember, the elected in major offices necessarily don't do their own work. They have a staff. Who are they? Who are they? Judges, hard to understand, but find out more about them. Sam Adams understood the moral dilemma. He understood that we need to fight for truth. And you'll have to look at the references to find out more about Brutus and the others in this truth. Come on back next week.